Brooklyn.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war on drugs.
Libertarianism.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to What Would Save the World. My name is Tuke Edelo, and I'm here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. on Radio Free Brooklyn, like I just said before. Yeah, like I'm being very repetitive on this show today. So I have been feeling like a little depressed lately. I've been feeling kind of alone. I've been feeling really the weight of the like the difficulties of the world right now, even though they don't directly affect me, a lot of them, so I'm just kind of a fuck ass. My friend's coming over in a minute. We're gonna have some conversation about, you know, the nuclear bombs and just whatever's going on in the world. I want to know what would save the world. I don't know what would save the world. Who the fuck knows? But we're gonna be taking some call-ins today, and Persephone Sarah Jane Smith is running for city council in Bushwick, and they just got really fucked over by the Green Party. Not the Green Party didn't fuck them over, but like the board of whatever fucked them over because they're trans and they had a name change. So they basically have a week to get 450 signatures from registered voters in the area, and they really need to get on an independent ticket. And I think that they're really, really intelligent person. They're ex-military, so they know about, you know, they know about the military. They have an understanding of the trans ban that a lot of other people don't. And you can listen to, they were on my last episode of What Would Save the World, and this happened pretty much a few days after they were on the show, and I'll be posting that episode on Audio Boom like tomorrow. You can go sign up for petition for them or whatever on Wednesday at Junis 3 stop at 6 p.m. today, and on tomorrow at the Alabama J train stop at 5 p.m. That's, you know, the 10th, August 10th. That's tomorrow. And on the 11th, you can go to the Myrtle Wyckoff L at 3 p.m. And on Saturday, you can go to the Norwood J at 2 p.m. And Sunday is the Van Cillian J stop at 4 p.m. Monday is the DeKalb L at 3 p.m. And Tuesday at the Shepherd C station at 4 p.m. And that's it. They only have those days to get it together, Persephone. So you should really, if you are a registered voter and you really want to see a change, especially in this district that is experiencing a fuck ton of gentrification and development, then you should really, really go check it out. See, I'm not registered in this district, and I'm not registered in this district, and I would really appreciate if people would help them out. And I'll be there on either Saturday or Sunday, because I'm actually making a What Would Save the World documentary, and it's going to be a little bit nicer than this show. If you've listened to the show, you know that this show is like ridiculous and angry sometimes, but I'm just going to try to prove to people that that people actually care. That people actually care about the world. I meet people all the time who care an awful lot about what's happening in the world. And I feel like it doesn't seem like that. And it doesn't seem like that to me. I've been doing these funny episodes of, hello, what do you want your name to be today? Okay, Peter Solar's with me right now. Peter Solar. Just sit down at one of these mics. This one's better. That one. Sit at that one. So we finally have our guest here. Put on the head. Okay, let's... you're not sorry. Talk into the mic. Oh, that's the wrong mic. Talk.
How's it?
Oh, hey, what's up? I can hear you. So tell me, what do you think would save the world, Peter Solar?
Nothing.
Nothing? You think we're so fucked?
Well, I mean, I know I have ideas of what would save the world, but it's impossible to get there at this point. So
is it actually? impossible to get there? I don't know about that. Why would it be impossible? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I feel like we're fighting the same battles over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's true. We are fighting the same battles over and over again, but does it get different? Like, what do you... There's going to be this fucking thing on Saturday, and I'm not going to be able to make it.
Yeah, so in Charlottesville, Virginia, there's going to be a Unite the Right rally with all the big names of the alt-right.
Richard I can't even Spencer, believe that's like a real name.
Mike Cernovich.
I can't even believe they're calling it that. It's like a ridiculous name.
Yeah, and this is going to be bigger than the last one. Last time in Charlottesville on June 4th.
Yeah, I was going to go down there, but I don't know. I don't know if I can handle this emotionally at this point.
Yeah.
But I probably should, but like...
It's going to be pretty bad.
I like how the music changed right there, and it's going to be pretty bad. By the way, the music you're listening to is by an Austin artist named William Mulsom. You can check him out on SoundCloud, William Mulsom. But, yeah, I just found an article, Airbnb boots white nationalists headed to Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. Oh, yeah, fuck you. You can't
so
even
there
use
is them. There is, like, mainstream resistance, you know. There is mainstream resistance.
I mean, nobody likes white
nobody
supremacists.
Nobody likes Nazis. But the problem is people like...
Well, there are enough people right now who are like...
People like irony and nihilism.
Well, there's like a fuck ton of people nowadays who are just like, what do you mean, like, that white people aren't racist? Like, what do you mean? They're like, what do you mean white people are not... We can't experience racism? It's like... And that whole thing is like, I'm... To anybody who's listening who doesn't understand that, it's literally... Like, some people decided the definition of racism is not just somebody being fucked up to another person because of their race. That's called, like, prejudice or discrimination. Racism is systemic disadvantage and prejudice. And people don't understand that that definition has changed. And it's, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, it's the most entitled white thing you can do to just be, like, not the most. You can do a lot of entitled white things. And I'm sure I've done them, but whatever. But this specific thing... It's like, oh, people decided the definition of racism has changed and that prejudice is just going to be the one that applies to me? What? You changed the definition of my word? Like, it's so entitled. Like, isn't it, like, such an entitled thing to be like, what do you mean white people can't experience racism?
Yeah. And I'm seeing it a lot with a lot of old Occupy people.
Oh, yeah.
They're now...
They're all Proud Boys. As yeah, you know... But you know what's so funny to me? I keep thinking about this. Like, you know, like, what could be gayer than gay sex? You know, everybody's like, that shit's not manly. I'm like, there's two men involved or more. It's all men. That's manly. That's really fucking manly.
Yeah.
God, like, damn. I'm so tired of all this gender shit. I'm so fucking pissy about all this stuff. Like, why we gotta talk about all this all the time? Like, why? I want it to be, like... I want it to, like, matter. Like, I want people to fucking care about trans lives and LGBT lives and shit. But, like, I hate that it plays any role of significance in today's society. Like, it's like, what the fuck? Like, it's so fucking irrelevant, you know? I'm preaching to the choir here. So, let's talk about the nuclear bombs. So, Donald Trump is an idiot. And North Korea... I don't know what to think about any of this. Let's see, 14 minutes ago. Okay, so 14 minutes ago, Mattis to North Korea, stop actions that could lead to the destruction of our people. Of the people, of people in general, I don't know.
North Korea.
Oh, shut up, Trump. I don't want to hear your stupid ass voice. So U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis issued a dramatic ultimatum to North Korea to cease any consideration of action that will lead to the end of its regime and destruction of its people. Strong words that come after. You know about the fire and fury. God damn it. And you know that there's all these fucking people like in like, you know, like the conservative South and like in Staten Island just being like, oh, like, you know, that's Donald Trump, yo. He's standing up for us. North Korea is not going to fuck with us if Donald Trump says what he says about it. You know, Donald Trump is the guy. He says whatever the fuck he wants. It's not always pretty, but, you know. And then, you know, you got these people. And, like, this is something that Patrick Hillsman of the Apocalypse, it's another show on this station, always says, he always talks about how people in like fucking Kansas are like, oh, you don't understand. Like down here in Kansas, we gotta worry about terrorism. It's like, motherfucker, like we are in New York City. Like you realize that, right? Like if there was a nuclear attack, where's the first place it would hit?
Actually, I read an article that was like, they'd go after they'd go after silos instead of major metropolitan areas.
What silos?
The U.S. missile silos. So the ones in Kansas and Nevada and all the flyover states.
Oh, well, okay, well then.
They wouldn't really want to. Unfortunately, they wouldn't attack New York.
Unfortunately, don't say that kind of shit on my radio.
I mean, a part of me's like, geez, we've reached this point, like, let's just end it all in nuclear holocaust.
Oh my god. Oh wait, we got a caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, who the hell are you?
This is Tom.
Tom is part of my Facebook reality show of What Would Save the World. So we were just talking about, I'm here with my friend Peter, and you're one of these like Assadists, right? You're like one of these like Marxist-Leninist like freaks, right? Like you're one of these people that makes me want to like bash my head up against a wall, right?
No, I wouldn't call myself an Assadist, and I don't want to bash your head up against the wall.
No, I want to. You make me want to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, you don't actually make me feel that way. I'm just being totally obnoxious. I just feel like this whole thing where it's like fucking like workers' world. You know workers' world, right?
Yeah, I know workers' world.
Yeah, workers' world. I like some people in workers' world personally, but then I like fucking pull up the workers' world. Everybody is like,
defend People's Korea.
Defend. Yeah, they have these fucking letters that are like, dear Kim Jong Il. Like, thank you for your fucking whatever, like total, like, worship of, like, Kim Jong-il. And I understand, like, we don't want to, I understand the anti-American imperialism, like, oh, we shouldn't be fucking with them. Like, I get that. I really do. But it's like, don't be like, here, let me see if I can find the letter. So what were you going to say?
Well, I mean, I heard, I don't know if that was you, but someone kind of sparked at the idea of defending People's Korea. I mean, I don't think defending People's Korea just as a statement or even like a very vague, that's a vague position to have, but I don't think that's anything to scoff at. I mean, do you?
I don't think it's anything to scoff at to be like defend North Korea, but the way it was like addressing their fucking leader was absolutely ridiculous.
I'm not familiar with the exact letter you're referring to.
I'm gonna find this exact letter. Somebody, there's a friend of mine who like,
I mean, I do think out of just a matter of respect, I mean, if you do, if someone is offering defense of DPRK, I mean, out of just respect, like, I don't know how, like, what you're saying, like, worshiping him, I guess not treating him like a dick.
But here's the thing, like, okay, maybe I am just an angry, stupid-ass anarchist, but, like, I just feel like if you're supporting, like, any like fucking fascist leader, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, what you say, DPRK is fascism?
You don't think that fucking Kim Jong Il is fascism? You don't think that pretty much all of these guys running these different countries, including Trump, including all these guys, are like fucking like fascists?
Well, maybe that's a whole nother like long conversation, but I think like the critical aspect of fascism is having imperialism to back it up. I don't think it just means believing such and such or behaving in such and such way. I mean, I think there is like a class component to it. Without imperialism, I mean, I'm not trying to sit here and say that I wish the whole world was North Korea. Obviously, you can't. Korea is Korea. Korea should stay Korea. Every country should be what it is.
But you think we should have countries?
Well, I mean, they already exist. This is the thing. I mean, I'm a communist. I do eventually, my goal for what the world should look like is a nationless, classless, stateless society. But it's like, it's a construct that exists. I mean, it's like the right of nations to self-determination. Like, you wouldn't say that the Palestinians don't have a right to self-determination. How does one gain self-determination? By having a state. So, like, I wouldn't come at it from some ideological point of view and say, well, I don't think, when nations are already oppressed, I wouldn't say to them, well, you know, you shouldn't have a nation at all, let alone have a free nation.
Well, I don't think that they should. No, but see, that's where it gets complicated for me. It's like one of those things where it's like, all right, so like you're going to want to free the people of Korea. That makes sense. But okay, here's the letter. Here it is. Dear Comrade Kim Jong-un. So they're addressing the leader as comrade, not the people, okay? Workers' World Party conveys to the Workers' Party of Korea its continued firm, the Workers' Party, there we go, its firm solidarity and support on the 105th anniversary of the birth of Kim Il-sung. First as a political organizer, then as a revolutionary guerrilla commander, and ultimately as a leader of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea and the Korean People's Army. Kim Il-sung.
And that's all true.
Is that true, though? Because is he actually a revolutionary? I don't think he's a revolutionary. What the fuck? Like, what are you...
Of course he was. I mean, Japan was occupying Korea for like 50 years, and the most brutal occupation one can even really imagine. And he was a freedom fighter of a socialist Korean... liberation militant.
Okay, well, where is Korea now as a people?
Well, there's half, the bottom half is occupied by 30,000 plus U.S. troops. The old Japanese, like the Koreans who collaborated with the Japanese during occupation, they found refuge in so-called South Korea, the Republic of Korea. And then there's the northern half of Korea, which, whether we like it or not, whether we like their leadership, like in the United States, whether we like it or not, it's the one Korea that is an independent Korea that's ran by Koreans for Koreans, as opposed to the southern half, which is the occupied Korea, ran by large multinational corporations for large multinational corporations. So, I mean, that's where Korea is.
Okay, that makes it. Yeah, Tom, Peter here. That makes sense in terms of, like, from an anti-imperialist perspective. But
yeah, like,
at what point is Korea socialist or like working toward a socialist project? Because I feel like that's been long abandoned.
I just feel like a lot of people I meet in from Workers World and groups like that, like, I understand the anti-imperialist, but they go way too hard on like the dictator worship.
Yeah, I do think that some of it, like, I kind of engage in this myself sometimes where
I know
right where even just to maybe get under the skin of, like, almost taking the stereotypes that we're given about so-called dictators and so on, sort of flipping them on its head. I mean,
I can't fucking hear you. You have to talk louder.
I'm sorry. I'm in a warehouse riding around a machine. I'll stop. But sometimes what happens is, like, the caricatures that are painted of various leaders and figures throughout the Third World primarily, you know, there's caricatures painted of them. So sometimes what anti-imperialists do, including myself, and it's not productive, I'll admit that one, like, 100%. Sometimes flip it on its head and sort of shove it in the imperialist face. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll admit that. But, I mean, even, like, substantively, like, yeah, the people are free to determine who their leaders are in the face of domination and destruction.
But did they pick, are they picking their leader? Like, how much, yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, what I'm kind of tired of is, like, communists, like, supporting fascist communist leaders. And, like, I don't think communists, you know, I'm an anarcho-communist. Like, I think that, like, I understand why, you know, I'm a communist. I'm a kind of communist. But what really bothers me...
I was one, too, at one point.
What?
I considered myself sort of an anarcho-communist at one point. Well.
What kind of communist are you now? Are you, like, a Marxist-Leninist or one of these Vanguard Party bullshit things?
I mean, honestly, well, let's not, I don't even want to get into that. But I mean, these various labels, I don't really find them all that productive, whether they be like,
I mean, but they're not, I mean, they're not just labels. When I say Marxist Leninist, what I'm talking about is these people who like think that they're like intellectually elitist and need to rip down all this thing, and I don't believe in intellectual elitism.
Well, I mean, Marxism Leninism, I mean, I don't know who you've been talking to or whatever, but like the way I define it is just Marxism in the era of imperialism. Like,
that's what you define Marxist-Leninism is?
Well, it's Marxism applied to a world in which imperialism exists. I guess that's how I would define it.
That's how you would define Marxist-Leninist?
Like, that's where it came out of, like, you know, after World War One, during World War One and the following period, like, that's, like, where and when it was decided. So, like, that's what I mean. Like, yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, yes, I'm a Marxist-Leninist. I'd say that.
You're a what?
I'm Marxist-Leninist. Sorry, hold on. Let me go somewhere quieter. I'm moving.
Yeah, I guess I just, when I think about Marxist Leninism, I immediately start thinking of Vanguard Party, and I don't like that shit.
I mean, a Vanguard Party, what does it mean?
The political structure of a Marxist-Leninist state involves the rule of a communist Vanguard Party over a revolutionary socialist state. Like, I don't know, like, okay, let me get to you with my beef with a lot of, like, communists that I meet. It's like,
okay,
there's a reason why people don't like communism. There's a reason why people don't like capitalism. They both fucking suck because they're economic systems, and then what you do with them is, you know, then there's like another thing. It's like, what's the government if there's going to be a government at all? So there's fucking voluntary communism, and then there's authoritarian communism, and then there's somewhere in between. To me, Marxist-Leninism...
Everything is authoritarian. I mean, there's nothing that... There is authority everywhere you go, and every organism has authority of some sort. It's a matter of...
Okay, fascist then. Fascist, forced, coerced. And what I'm trying to tell you is every time I read about Marxist-Leninism, to me it sounds like it's going to be a forced communism, and it's going to be the same shit that people don't want, pretty much, that people are afraid of. And the reason, and it's like, basically what pisses me off about all that whole thing is I just feel like it's like, okay, so you're a communist and you're just reiterating the reason why communism is considered to be pretty much a swear word in the United States.
Well, there's also a whole lot of, I mean, all the propaganda.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying there's a lot of propaganda, but you know, do you hear what I'm saying, though? It's like people are afraid that they're going to be, like, forced into this kind of thing. And that's exactly what a Vanguard Party sounds like to me.
Well, I mean, you and I would both agree that, like, the Klan would be not allowed to function. Even, like, if we were working together to overthrow the current system as it exists, there would still be, like, just for an example, there would still be Klansmen, right? And by force, we would enforce that they are not allowed to function, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, you keep on going just even along that route. I mean, if we would enforce that no one is allowed to extract the labor of someone else for profit, we would enforce that. We would enforce that racism is illegal. We would enforce sexism is illegal, you know? Like, so, I mean, there's always going to be, and even the people that we overthrow, unless we just kill them all, which would be the most authoritarian thing I could possibly think of, just kill them all at one time, they're still going to be around. There's still going to be remnants of them. They're going to want their power back. They're going to try and do everything they can to get it back. So you will have to use force to make damn sure that they do not ever get it back, right? So, like, sometimes it's questions of, like, authority and coercion. It's, like, it's almost like we're defending the Nazis and all these other people who, by force, were overthrown. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah,
I don't quite know where it comes from. It's like, I don't know what you or I would have to fear. Like, we're working people. I assume you're of a working class background. I mean, I don't know, but I mean,
for the most part,
I don't know what we would have to fear of such a thing. By the way, I want all the people to be armed anyway. So that's a whole other thing. Like, that's where our force should come from. The people power, I would hope.
But so, why are you not an anarcho-communist anymore, though?
Honestly, what it is it's the right of nations to self-determination. Like, the slogan of no borders, no nations, you know, like, I get it, and, like, I can sympathize with that, but in the real world where there are oppressed nations and oppressor nations, it just doesn't fit. Like, it's like, I believe in the United States there is a black nation, there's a Chicano nation, these are oppressed nations. I am not going to say to them, no nation, because their nation exists, and it's oppressed. What I say is, I believe that they have the right to self-determination, and I...
Yeah, they have the right, but I think you can give people self-determination and still rip down walls.
Yeah, of course. I do want to rip down walls, but, like, even, like, let's say, I don't know, let's say Mexico overthrows their imperialist government that's attached to the teat of U.S. imperialism. They overthrow it. People in the U.S. are going to try and invade and destabilize and destroy what they've done, their revolution. What is Mexico to do? If they were smart, they would build a wall to make sure that that cannot happen, to enforce their sovereignty over really to enforce the liberation that they have over this piece of territory. You know what I mean? So that's why, like, I want to tear down all walls, but if oppressed people are building walls against oppressors, I say all power to them. I hope they succeed.
But what about when, like, oppressed groups decide they're going to go find their own little thing, and then they start building walls against people who are already there, and then you get Israel?
Well, I mean, I do think that's an interesting interesting point. You mentioned that in your Wet Wednesday.
My Wet Wednesday. Just so you know, everybody who's listening, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn, and something that Tuke does every Wednesday right before the show is she gets on her hammer and sickle and Anarchist A bikini and does a Wet Wednesday, and she's like a slutty little anarcho-communist. Okay, keep going.
Right, that thing. what were we talking about?
We were talking about how I talked about how when the oppressed becomes oppressors.
Oh, well, I mean, I think that was even a plot by the imperialists themselves. I mean, even when the Balfour Declaration was created in, 1917? There was only one Jewish member of the British Parliament. He was against it because he said that it would just encourage anti-Semitism. So, I mean, that was a plot of the imperialists themselves.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
Right. So, I mean, that's kind of a rare oddity. But, you know, like, I can't imagine a situation like in the U.S., for example, where the imperialists themselves are trying to, like, foment, like, black liberation in order to make white people hate black people. Like, you know, like, that would be, like...
Aren't they kind of already doing that a little bit?
Promoting black nationalism?
Well, not promoting black nationalism, but they're trying... I think that the media, in some way, is trying to get white people to hate black people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, of course. I meant, like, they're not promoting black nationalism in order to, like, make white people hate black people. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
I think that could happen, though. That could. That actually doesn't sound like... I'm actually kind of worried that we just brought that up on the show. I hope the wrong person doesn't hear that.
Well, okay. Well, maybe we can get off that.
No, but you know what I'm saying. No, you know what I'm saying. I'm, like, saying, like, oh, if somebody got that idea and decided they were going to, like, somehow benefit off of a bunch of this, you know... They could make a lot of money off of racism at this point.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, I mean, if they were to do something like that scheme, that big elaborate scheme, that has to be, like, Plan Z and their plans for maintaining domination over Turtle Island is, like, fermenting black nationalism. But, hey, that's another thing. But that's why I don't identify as an anarcho-communist. And I think the experience of the 20th century shows that, I mean, in an era of imperialism and, like, super hyped-up imperialism of, like, United States and UK and Europe all banding together in that world where it's basically the former colonized world trying to break free from imperialism and establish their own sovereignty and dignity in that world and in that context. I mean, I can't get behind, like, no nations, no...
Well, I think that, you know, fighting, like, colonialism and imperialism can be an anarchist communist, like... struggle, because, like, the first thing that people always, like, oh, you're an anarchist, you move in chaos. I'm like, you're an idiot, first of all.
Right.
What I mean by that is, like, I want to break down oppression and classism. So first, oppression comes first. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all like a goal. You know, it's a process. It's not just like, oh, we're gonna wake up one day and there's gonna be no borders and everything like that. It's not like that. But I still do think that the glorification of a lot of the leaders is really fucking weird. The glorification of the workers and the people being oppressed in those places, that I understand. I'm never gonna be down with, like, the Assad sovereign leader. It's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want that here, personally, but on the other hand, I say to myself that, like, in Korea, for example, if we're just going to go off that, like, the one thing that they do in the DPRK is sort of, I almost crashed into someone at a warehouse.
Okay, keep talking.
I think, like, when they're elevating their leaders to such a high level, it's sort of like, I mean, whether you agree with it or not, or whether you like it or not, that's one thing. But, like, just to better understand it, they're kind of putting, it's almost like they're trying to make individuals represent the aspirations of the people as a whole, sort of. Like, they're kind of projecting, like, strength, unity.
Like Jesus.
Solidarity. Yeah, I mean, sort of.
That's how I feel about these, like, college dudes who want to talk to me about how there's a pure Marxist. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, did you... So the Communist Manifesto is your Bible? Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right. Yeah, I'm not about that myself. I mean, I think we should stay within, like, what the real world is. I mean, it's like when libertarians talk about, like, pure capitalism.
Oh my God, like, they're so funny. They're so funny. I want to hate fucking libertarians.
That's not the world we live in. Like, they say, it's like if I say that the grass is actually red, you tell me, no, it's green, and I say, well, that's not real grass. Well, that wouldn't make... Like, obviously, grass has a certain color, and that's what it is. So,
I'm going to let you go in, like, a minute. So, You should tell me that what you think would save the world real quick.
Oh, I think just immediately. I guess the overthrow of Wall Street and the Pentagon. I mean, I guess that's step one, huh?
All right, Tom. Well, I'll see you on the reality show that is my Facebook.
All right, see you there.
Thank you. Bye. You were awesome. Bye. Okay, you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. That was Tom from my Facebook reality show. That was enlightening to hear the perspective of a worker's world, of a worker in the world, in the bourgeoisie that is the America, the North America. You got any reflection on that, Peter Solar?
If we want to operate in the real world, we got to stop talking about ideology and bullshit, really.
Can you talk into the mic?
I said we got to stop talking about ideology and bullshit.
Am I an ideology bullshitter?
No, I think everyone on the left is, in terms of like...
What about the right? Oh, what about these fucking libertarian religious fuckers?
Everybody
is. We're all awful. We should all die.
No.
Speaking of which, I posted on my Facebook, What Would Save the World, and somebody said, Mother Nature finally taking us out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of hoping for, a nuclear war.
Oh my God, no, no, you're not a lover. You're not a lover.
No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, if you actually look at the story, it's all saber rattling. It's not going to happen.
I mean, but like, do you really think it's not going to happen? Like, I mean, but here's the thing, maybe not North Korea, but like, I do feel like it's so funny when we talk about when people in the South are like the most concerned, or like middle America are like the most concerned about terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but you know what I'm saying, right? DC and New York are like the prime targets.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. And like maybe LA, I don't know, has LA, when's the last time, I mean, LA's had shit happen to them.
Yeah, LA always has shit happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I posted on Do You Hate Humans Too? # What Would Save the World. Let us know what you think of that. And we're supposed to be hearing from Persephone. So by the way, everybody, you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you're not familiar, there is this thing. It's called J20. And J20 was January 20th. It was the inauguration of Donald J. Trump. And what we're going to do here is we're going to play some songs off of Now That's What I Call Kirkophony, Volume 1. I guess he's like the prosecutor for the J20 case. Shoot. And this is a song called Jenny Low Blow. I guess it's supposed to be about J20. So here we go.
Echoes of protest coming through my chest hill wall. But I'm sitting here alone. Two lawyers in zip ties, and the inmates start to shout. All I got is an electric chair, and that don't carry no clown at all. Destination, the home. Jenny, 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 low blow. Destination, the home. Jenny, 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 low blow. That's on swinging. In the policeman's hand, I see my name on the docket. Make some room on the stand. Once again, she's lying. She can't look me in the eye. False accusations, it's life. Yeah, prison till I die. Destination, the hope. Jenny, 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 low blow. Destination, oh. Jenny, 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 Lobo. Jenny's heart is blackened. She don't care what she done. The jury's not the only one who knows there's something wrong. Kirkhoff makes a comfortable living, violating others' rights. Jenny wants to lock me up for 75. That's the rest of my life. Destination, the hope. Jenny, 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 low blow. Destination, the hope. Jenny, low blow. Jenny, low blow. Destination, low. Jenny, low blow. Destination, low. Jenny, low blow.
And that was Jenny Low Blow on that. Now that's what I call Kurt Coffany Volume 1. All right. So we're going to be having a special thing. Persephone is going to be calling in a minute or two. And we also have a vote for Radio Free Brooklyn to present at South by Southwest. Wouldn't it be amazing to see you here? We got to put on some background music for this shit. Here we go. Wouldn't it be amazing to see your community radio station represented at South by Southwest? Well, you can help Radio Free Brooklyn by making it happen by doing one simple thing. Vote. Here's how to do it. Head over to radiofreebrooklyn.com/SXSW to cast your vote for our panel, DIY Radio and Local Music Communities. Votes will help choose the panels for South by Southwest 2018, and the more votes we get, the better chance we have of taking RFB show on the road. Find out more information, cast your vote by going to radiofreebrooklyn.com/SXSW. Make sure to tell your friends too. Voting ends August 25th. Thanks for being part of our Radio Free Brooklyn community. All right. So now we're going to be waiting for Persephone to call in, but we'll talk about some other shit while we're here. So wasn't that so funny, Jenny? So, but were you talking about the DSA, the fucking DSA?
So the DSA had its biannual national convention last week, and they did a number of things. They voted on a resolution against Israel, declaring it an apartheid state. They voted on a resolution in favor of the abolition of police and prisons. And they also managed to elect a cop to their fucking national political caucus. I'm not even kidding.
Did they not know he was a cop?
Yeah. So the guy kind of... There's a lot of debate about what the hell's going on. And then some... It's now a lot of factions in the DSA whose membership is now blown to like 25,000 people.
Yeah, the DSA is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd say so. But I think it's a...
It's not so bad. I like the DSA for the most part.
No, it's inspiring to see a bunch of young people involved in socialism and, like, at the same time, is like, you got to realize how ineffectual of an organization this thing is, you know?
I went to the big Philando Castile thing, and, like, at the end, when people were, like, thanking DSA, like, a couple anarchists just, like, did not do anything. They just didn't share or anything. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. But yeah, so what, yeah. What about the DSA? What were you saying?
Yeah, so now there's this whole controversy. It's like, why the hell would they let, like, membership voted against the cops and then they put this guy in? It's just kind of like a slap in the face.
Oh my God, this is so funny.
It is kind of a clusterfuck, too. Everything's decided by votes. Like, they vote on whether they're going to vote. Yeah. All the different caucuses have to vote about whether they're going to introduce a resolution, and then they have to vote on the resolution.
Maybe we should start going to DSA meetings.
Yeah, no, I know. They have a libertarian socialist caucus. I mean, no, it's whatever. Like... They're lefties. It's just like, it's just another fucking group. And like, Workers World is just another group. Anarchists, Antifa, they're just another group. My problem is I don't see any community. And there is no community.
There's no community. Yeah, you're right. We're also individualist Americana.
Mm-hmm.
This is depressing.
Yeah,
okay, well, Persephone is having a hard time with the phone, but just to remind you all, Persephone Sarah Jane Smith got really fucked over. They are a trans person running for city council in Bushwick, and if you are registered to vote in any party, they got really fucked over because they tried to change their name and then something with the paperwork, and just, they're being really fucked up to her. So On Wednesday, the Junis 3 stop at 6 p.m. That's today. That's where you can go sign. On Thursday, that's tomorrow, at the Alabama J train stop at 5 p.m. Friday at the Myrtle Wyckoff L at 3 p.m. Saturday at the Norwood J at 2 p.m. Sunday at the Van Sicilian, I don't know how to say that, at 4 p.m. And that's on Sunday. I'm going to be there at some point this weekend. I'm going to be interviewing Persephone for a documentary I'm making of What Would Save the World. And on Monday, the DeKalb L at 3 p.m. And Tuesday, the Shepherd's Sea Station at 4 p.m. So that they only have a week to get like 450 signatures. And I believe they can do it. And I don't know. For some reason, the call's not working. For some reason, they're having a hard time with the call. Let me try something real quick. Let me see if I can. Let me see if I can do this. Why is this not working? Everything hates me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll eat some worms. Yeah. I don't know why my phone is not, but I think, yeah, let's try just going through Facebook. Yeah. They're going to call in through Facebook. So we're going to make this work out. We're going to have a Persephone. We're going to have Persephone call. Yeah. I don't know what to do. Let's just put, okay, here we go. Hello. Hello? Can you hear me?
I'm here.
Okay, let me just turn off this music that's playing for some reason in the background. So, Persephone, hello, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. Just scrambling because I have 6 days to get 450 signatures.
Yeah, I've been telling people on the radio. I told everybody where to go twice. So I'll do it one more time before the show's over. But have you gotten any signatures so far?
Actually, in the last 4 days, we got over 260.
Okay, so you only need, you need like half now.
Yeah. So we got 6 days left, and we're going to go, and we're going to be out there every day until the 15th.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited for you. That's really exciting. I'm happy to hear that. I didn't know you had any. You got that many signatures until just now, so I'm happy. But why don't you tell us? What are your main positions? Like, what do you want to do in Bushwick?
Well, first of all, I mean, I live in Bushwick. I only recently moved around there, but I've experienced gentrification in many of the communities I have lived in since living here in New York. And out where I live, which is by the Myrtle Wyckoff stop, you start slowly seeing the gentrification creep into there. So my big thing is trying to keep a housing affordable for those who actually live in the district. And the problem is with that, the city denotes affordable housing for those that make a annual median income of all the boroughs plus Westchester and Rockland counties, and which comes out to like around $57,000 for your annual median income. And so the numbers for the housing get set pretty high, whereas on average in my district, people make anywhere from $27,000 to $30,000 a year. So they would not be able to afford any of the housing. The next problem is that the affordable housing that they do put into new developments, where it's anywhere from 0 to about 5% of the units are affordable being those who make around $55,000 to $57,000 a year, which sets a one bedroom up in the neighborhood of $1,500 to $1,800 a month. Well, if we change that model to make it the annual median income based on what's for that district, this District 37 is like the third poorest in the city. If we make it based on the AMI of the district, then housing can stay affordable for those who actually live there. And we want to try to, a lot of us really want to try to force developers to at least offer at the minimum 30% of the units as affordable housing. If, I mean, we want to really push for 50% of those units to be affordable, but, you know, we'll take 30% if we can get it. And so that one is the biggest on my platform.
And you want to make it that it's, you want to make it that it's less, that it's a lower, like, what, I mean, what makes something low income? You want to make it not that 50,000 or whatever it is.
Right, exactly, because then they can still set the rents for these new units that they call affordable pretty high, which would not be affordable to most people that live in my district.
And then they'll just keep gentrifying the fuck out of it.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not that I am opposed to people moving into the neighborhood. I'm opposed to they move in and they're willing to pay anything for any sort of housing there. And thus the landlords will go, well, if they're going to pay that much, well, let's start raising the rents for everything. And the current tenants get pushed out because they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to try to make it so that, you know, that can't happen.
And yeah, I also feel like a lot of people, even if people are just moving in the neighborhood, there is this, like, with gentrification. And, like, even if people, like, moved in, like, you got to be, like, socially aware, like, when you're moving into a neighborhood of, like, Bushwick right now. And I feel like a lot of people are not, and it's really weird. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, people don't, it's like this, like, micro-colonialism kind of shit, you know? It's like people just, like, moving in and taking over with complete disregard for who was there before.
Exactly. I mean, District 37 is, like, 90% Black and Latinx people. 95%. And you see these people moving in. Like, I live near a live slaughterhouse of, you know, chickens and goose and things like that. And the people that I see walk by taking pictures of this and laughing, like, this is something out of the ordinary, whereas the people that that live around me, this is every day for them. This is what they do. This is part of their culture, you know? And I really hate seeing that, and it bugs the piss out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People, the total, yeah, like, voyeurism of it all.
Right, exactly. It's like, oh, look at the poor people. They get their stuff live slaughtered. Oh, and honestly, I would get it. I'd rather get that than anything I buy at the grocery store, because I know that where it came from and it's fresh. that's like the biggest part of my platform is affordable housing. The second thing is definitely police reform. I would love to see abolition and see more of a model based on how, you know, Cop Watch works. We have one fellow, Anthony Beckford. I do believe you know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's running, I forgot exactly which district, unfortunately.
I believe it's district, head. Is it, I think it's district 45.
Yes, you are correct. And, you know, I talk to him a lot about, you know, that, and I'm like, that sounds like a good idea, but if we can't, you know, abolish police, that's okay, so we have to come up with something. Currently, the NYPD budget is like $5.5 billion a year.
FTP.
That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous amount of money considering how much we get for, say, education and, you know, healthcare in the city. We would love to at least see that come down, you know, at least by 10%, if not more, because they don't need that much money. All they're using it for is militarizing themselves, and, you know, we see what happens with that. You got no-knock door raids, and, you know, children getting killed, and, you know, innocent people getting killed because of this militarization that we've been seeing. We need to see definitely more sensitivity training. I forgot the name of the town out in California where this Green Party mayor she started, you know, a lot of de-escalation training and a lot of rules of engagement kind of training and sensitivity training, offering incentives for police to live in the neighborhoods that they police so that they at least get to know the people around them. So, you know, she, and they have so few officer involved, you know, anything that, you know, people are amazed. And if we even just followed her model, it would make it would make so much more, make people's lives so much easier. You know, getting rid of stuff like broken windows style policies, which in my opinion is, and many people's opinion, is like the new Jim Crow. What else? I'm sorry, I'm outside.
You're outside? Are you getting signatures right now? Or no, you're not going till 6.
No, I was here to pick up some flyers, but Staples decided that yesterday when I came in and they weren't finished, they thought I said, oh, well, cancel the order. So I had to place a new order, and, well,
oh, well, that sucks. Flyers. Well, let's say one more time so people know where you're going to be. Let me pull up the thing you sent me, and let's talk about where you're going to be, because doesn't that sound great, everybody? Let's get Persephone in fucking city council and at least be able to get them on the ballot. So today at 6 p.m. it's going to be at the Junius 3 stop. Thursday is going to be at the Alabama J train stop at 5 p.m. That's tomorrow. Friday at the Myrtle Wyckoff L stop at 3 p.m. Saturday at the Norwood J at 2 p.m. Sunday at the, how do you say this, Van Sicklin? Van Sicklin?
Van Sicklin
at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Monday at the DeKalb L at 3 p.m. And Tuesday at the Shepherd C station at 4 p.m. So if you are registered to vote in this district, if Persephone is trying to run independent, like, you should really, really go sign the petition. Because, you know, fuck the fucking board of whatever. Who fucked you over? What's your story again on this with the name thing?
The Board of Elections. Well, so I had changed my name again, June. Or just a little before June, and I had gone to the Board of Elections to submit my name change because I knew I was running, and I knew I needed to be on the ballot under, you know, my new name. Well, they apparently didn't do it. So when they went to look up my name after submitting my first petition, they didn't find it. Although it's still under my former name, which is Veronica, and... They said, well, it's your fault.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, but I, you know, I put in for my name change so I can, you know, do all this stuff. And it's something that could easily be changed because the court document that says, you know, formerly known as Veronica Sanderson Smith, you know, now Persephone, Sarah Jane Smith, you know, they could have just said, oh, okay, well, we could just put this in. But they refused to. They said I didn't follow the rules of petitioning and getting on the ballot, and it's our fault. And we're trying to figure out how it's our fault when we went down there and tried, you know, and to put in for the name change. And now here I am, have to get 450 signatures. And that wasn't the
which you're going to get. It's going to happen.
You know, the worst part of it all, my campaign manager, who is also trans, who was talking to these people, and four times in a span of like 2 minutes, they misgender him. And each and every time he said, hey, stop doing that. You don't have to do that. I'm he, or if you must, I'm he, or you can call me sir, but my name is Gabe, Gabriel, and you gotta, you know, respect my pronouns. And, you know, right after that, the very next sentence, again, misgendering him. This happened. Yeah, and it really felt like if I was a Democrat or even a Republican, that, you know, it would have been no problem. They would have changed my name in the system and said, okay, everything's cleared up. They said they sent us two letters. They did. One was dated on the 18th of last month, and the other was the 26th. The funny thing is, both letters went out on the 26th, which is, you know, that's what the postmark says. we didn't receive them until a week, almost a week later. But on that day was the last of the hearings for Brooklyn to go and contest it at 10 a.m. We don't receive mail until 3 p.m. So we were already on the phone right when we got the letters trying to get them to, you know, get them on the phone. Eventually, we got the secretary of the guy who happened, who was still in the same, not the same room, the, you know, the same office space. And he was going through this intermediary because he didn't want to talk to us or something. And this secretary had, you know, misgendering, and just, he was telling her, well, it's our fault and we don't. So the best thing we could decide, figure out to do was go and change my name with them, and just run as an independent and get these signatures. And that's what we're doing. And we're more, you know, more than halfway there now. And a lot of people didn't think we could get it done. They said it was a daunting task, but 4 days, 262 signatures later, we're like,
you're so, getting you know, there. It's happening.
Help us now.
But Persephone, it was so, it was so great to talk to you. Thank you so much for calling in. I'll be seeing you this weekend. But I got, the show's gonna be over in like a couple minutes, so I gotta sign off from this.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
Come on.
You're fantastic. Goodbye. All right. So again, Persephone is going to be at all these different stations this week, and you got to really go over there and sign it, sign the petition if you can. You know, I'm going to be posting it on What Would Save the World Facebook page and stuff. But thank you so much for listening to What Would Save the World. I've been here with Peter Soler.
Yep.
I'm going to play out with Jenny, Dolly Parton, The Mall. It's a song from the Now That's What I Call Kirkoff. Cacophony Volume 1 from the J20 Defendants. Also, you should go to Radio Free Brooklyn /SXSW. And I told you about that before. South by Southwest Workshop. You should go fucking vote on that. Here we go. Jenny.